On a blue background, a glowing pinpoint of light arcs over the light blue outline of a castle with spires and flags. Words appear in a flash. Walt Disney Pictures. The screen fades to black. Now a man steps into a hallway in a red and white Santa Claus suit. Swinging a red bag over his shoulder, he saunters to a mezzanine overlooking a festive office party. Below, tinsel and twinkling lights hang throughout a lobby. A piano trio plays as workers dance, drink, and chat merrily. Titles appear. Walt Disney Pictures, in association with Hollywood Pictures, presents Tim Allen in The Santa Claus, an outlaw production starring Judge Reinhold, Wendy Crewson, Eric Lloyd, and David Krumholtz. The office Santa makes the rounds, passing out presents. In front of the trio, a balding man in his 50s holds a microphone.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention? This has been our best year ever, thanks to Do It All For You, Dolly. And I think we should give a special thanks to the people responsible for our record-breaking sales, our Midwest marketing and distribution team, Scott Calvin and Susan Perry. Let's hear it for them. Come on. Susan, darling, come on up here. Aren't they adorable? Say a few words.
A man and a woman approach.
Thank you very much. This was really a team effort, and I would just want to thank every one of you individually.
But we don't have time for that, do we? In all seriousness, here at B&R Toys, we're not just about making a profit in quality toys. We're also about families. But our families aren't here with us right now. It's probably why Johnson's secretary is sitting in his lap. You guys have a great party, have a great year. Drive safe. Thanks very much.
The 30-ish Scott shakes Susan's hand.
Aren't they wonderful?
Later, a silver car speeds down a completely deserted highway.
Laura, I was hoping to catch you before you'd left your house. I ran real late today. You wouldn't believe the traffic out here. Yeah, same to you! And that's not very ladylike! Anyway, I'll try to get to my house as soon as I can. Oh, there's the problem right there. Three-car pileup. I'm really gonna be late.
He turns onto an empty exit, now smiling carolers on a snow-covered sidewalk. Moments later, Scott's car weaves through a town's bustling streets. Multicolored lights glow in windows as shoppers pick up last-minute purchases. A woman drops coins into Santa's red bucket. In a toy store window, a train winds around a track. A mechanical stuffed bear climbs a ladder. Outside, children admire the toys with wide, eager eyes. Turning a corner, Scott passes a snowball fight. One boy knocks another down. Both tumble into the snow. Inside the car, Scott checks his watch. Dark-haired and handsome, he has hazel eyes and a trim figure. On a quiet street, a little boy stares out the back window of a green sedan. A couple sits up front. As Scott pulls up, the woman climbs out of the car.
All right, let's go.
Bye, Charlie.
Bye, Neil.
Scott pussyfoots over to them through the snow.
Oh, sorry, I'm late.
He kisses the boy.
Hi.
Danny, do you want to come in for a minute?
Neil's waiting in the car, so.
Why doesn't he come in?
Because Daddy says you'll just end up saying something snotty.
Not necessarily. Could be rude or sarcastic, whatever it takes.
See, I gotta go.
Come on, come on, Christmas Eve, just for a minute.
She shrugs in consent, then waves to her husband.
Watch those steps, they're real slippery.
She trips.
Told you.
Then follows Scott and the boy into the house. Inside, Charlie approaches Scott's Christmas tree.
So. You going to your mom's for dinner?
Actually, we're gonna be with Neil's family.
Ah, Christmas at the Pound.
There aren't that many presents over there.
Well, that's because Santa isn't here yet.
Neil doesn't believe in Santa.
Well, Neil's head comes to a point.
He's smart. He's a doctor.
He's not a doctor. He's a psychiatrist. Take your coat off. You're sticking around, aren't you?
Laura pokes her head out the door.
I'll be right there. Just a sec.
She steps back in.
I just want to...
Did that jerk tell Charlie there was no Santa Claus?
What? No.
Oh, Charlie came home from school the other day in tears because some big kid told him there was no such thing as Santa. And you know, Neil, well, he sat him down and...
He told him that there was a Santa Claus.
Well, all he said was that Santa was more like a feeling, you know, more like a state of mind than a person.
Kind of like Neil. And who gave you permission to tell Charlie there's no Santa Claus? I think if we're going to destroy our son's illusions, I should be a part of it.
Yeah, but you're never around, are you, Scott?
Oh, please.
Listen, all we are trying to do is give Charlie a firm grasp on reality.
That's a good idea. You don't want kids running around using their imaginations.
Oh, yeah, this is from the guy responsible for the do-it-all-for-you dolly.
Leave her out of this.
Don't you burp me. Don't you change me.
Why do you guys always have to fight?
I swear we're not fighting. It's your mom singing. Sounds a lot like fighting, doesn't it? Cats, even. The trouble is, Neil and your mom, they don't believe in Santa because they were real naughty. Which is why they'll probably get lumps of coal in their stockings.
I don't know. Seems kind of babyish to believe in that kind of stuff.
What are you talking about? I believe in Santa Claus. I'm not a baby.
Well...
Maybe it is time you left. We don't want to keep Dr. Pinhead waiting.
He strolls into the kitchen. Kneeling down, Laura gives Charlie a hug.
Do I gotta stay?
Listen, you and your daddy are gonna have a great Christmas, okay?
Will you pick me up tomorrow?
Of course.
Early?
Yes.
We're talking sun up, you're here?
You'll be fine. Oh, Merry Christmas, Charlie, I love you.
I love you too, Mom.
He blows her a kiss and slumps away.
Be a good boy. Okay?
Bye, Mom.
4 hours?
Mouth agape, he studies a recipe as the pretty dark-haired Laura walks out. Scott glances at his son sitting on a staircase. Charlie has a brown mop-top haircut and is about 6. He looks up at his father with sad eyes. Scott turns back to his cookbook. Later, we see a table laden with sumptuous food. Our view pulls back to reveal the beautiful turkey dinner on a television show. Sitting across from the TV, Charlie stares at burnt sweet potatoes and blackened rolls on his own dining room table. Nearby, Scott sprays the oven with a fire extinguisher. A smoldering turkey rests on a tray inside. He vainly tries to wave away the smoke with a potholder and throws a smile to his son.
That is exactly why you want a high-quality fire extinguisher right in the kitchen.
Those flames were really big, Dad.
Yeah, turkey's funny that way.
Dad!
The turkey reignites, shooting flames. Scott puts out the fire, dousing the bird with a foggy spray.
It's done.
Later, they drive to a restaurant.
You like Oso Buco, Charlie? Closed.
You know, Neil's a real good cook.
Yeah, and you should see him walk on water.
You don't like him very much, do you, Dad?
Charlie, yeah, I was joking, okay? I'm sorry. I'm just kidding around. I like him all. I like him. You know, there's just something about him that makes me want to...
lash out irrationally?
Where did you hear that?
From Neil. I learn a lot from him. He listens to me.
Yeah. And he charges you for it.
Charlie rolls his eyes. Turning a corner, Scott pulls into a lot and parks in front of the entrance to Denny's. Inside the car, Scott beams as he snatches his keys out of the ignition.
All right. Denny's. It's always open.
I don't want to eat here.
What are you talking about? Everybody likes Denny's. It's an American institution.
Inside, several tables of businessmen banter and make jokes. Scott and Charlie enter. A waitress approaches.
Are you with Hatsutashi?
No.
Dad brought the turkey.
Oh, yeah. This way. Come on.
Leading them to a different section, she points out a table.
Right over there?
Thank you.
Scott and Charlie each grab a chair. At another table, a father dines with 2 girls. He nods to Scott. Nearby, a different father eats with his son.
Burn a turkey?
The man sheepishly waves a bandaged hand.
Coffee?
No, thank you, Judy. What do you say we start out with cold glasses of a delicious seasonal favorite, eggnog?
I don't like eggnog.
We're out.
Coffee, decaf.
Mm-hmm.
All chocolate milk, please.
We're out.
Plain milk's fine.
Okay.
At least we know they got hot apple pie.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Judy, the waitress, saunters off. Frowning, Charlie turns to pout at his dad. Scott shrugs and glances around.
This is nice.
Later, Charlie lies in bed. Scott reads beside him.
And Mama on her kerchief, and I and my cat had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, but miniature sleigh and St. Nick and the heaven prancer and dancer and up the same to all.
As Charlie sleeps peacefully, Scott gently sets the book on a nightstand, rises, and shuts off the light.
What's that?
What's what?
A rose such a clatter.
It's not a ladder. I said a rose such a clatter. It means came a big noise.
What?
Resigned, Scott turns the light back on.
Charlie, a rose is a word that means it came, and clatter is a big noise. Please go to sleep. Shut your eyes.
How do reindeer fly? They don't have any wings.
Fairy dust?
That's from Peter Pan, Dad.
Horns.
Antlers.
Whatever. Their antlers give them, you know, there's a slipstream effect. The air go, if they move fast, they're weightless.
But is Santa so fat? How does he get down the chimneys?
He sucks it in like Grandpa.
But what about people who don't have fireplaces? How does he get into their house?
Charlie, sometimes believing in something means you just believe in it. Santa uses reindeer to fly because that's how he has to get around.
But you do believe in Santa, right, Dad?
Of course I believe in Santa. Please go to sleep.
Charlie reluctantly shuts his eyes as Scott starts to leave.
Dad?
What is it, Charlie?
Maybe we better leave some cookies and milk out. Just in case, okay?
Great. I'll just go preheat the oven.
And don't forget the fire extinguisher.
Good night, Charlie.
Charlie turns his face to his pillow. Outside, the streets are still. Lights twinkle at each house. A little later, a wind chime sways in a window. Charlie's eyes open. Kicking off his comforter, he darts out of bed and runs into the hallway. He runs into his father's bedroom and finds Scott sleeping soundly.
What?
I heard a clatter.
What, Charlie?
There, a clatter.
Charlie, what are you talking about?
I don't know. It came a big noise. It's coming from outside.
Charlie, it's just the wind or something. Come on, let's go back to bed.
They glance up at the ceiling.
Somebody's on the roof.
Maybe it's Santa.
Not now, Charlie. I want you to sit here, and I want you to stay right there.
He starts to rush out.
Charlie. Do you know how to call 911?
Sure. 911.
Yeah. Great. Stay there.
He heads downstairs. Charlie waits a moment, then sprints to his bedroom. Dashing outside, Scott wears a jacket, t-shirt, boxers, and boots. He steps off the curb and stares up at his house.
Hey, you!
What's that?
Whoa, whoa!
Standing on the roof, a man in a red and white Santa Claus suit slips and falls, crashing onto a snowdrift in Scott's yard. With a look of astonishment, Scott tiptoes over to him. Santa lies motionless, blanketed with snow. Scott waves his hand over Santa's head.
Woo-hoo.
He kicks his black boot.
Hey, buddy. All right. You should just stay still.
Perfect.
Charlie comes out.
Charlie, stay where you are. Charlie, would you listen to me? Stay up there.
It is Santa. You killed him.
Did not. And he's not Santa.
Well, he was.
got some ID on him, I bet. Fella, if you can hear me, I'm just looking for identification. Once you figure out who you are, I'll give you a lift back to the mall.
He finds a business card in Santa's pocket.
If something should happen to me, put on my suit, the reindeer will know what to do. Yeah, right.
The other side reads, Santa Claus, North Pole, and has a thin red border. As Scott and Charlie turn away, Santa feebly waves goodbye. The father and son step into the street and gaze up at the roof. Staring wide-eyed, their mouths hang open. We slowly glide up the side of the house. 8 reindeer, harnessed to a sleigh, stand on the roof. Shutting his eyes, Scott shakes his head, then looks again. The reindeer are still there. Each has a dark brown coat and branched antlers. Gulping, Charlie turns back to the sprawled Santa. He's gone. Only his red suit remains. Charlie pats his father's arm.
Dad!
He runs over.
He disappeared! Whoa!
He's naked somewhere.
You can put on the suit like the card said,
no.
Are you?
No.
Come on, Dad, I want to go too.
Stop it, Charlie. We're not going anywhere.
You'd never do what I want to do.
Would you please be quiet for a minute so I can figure this out?
He starts to pace.
Reindeer up on the roof. Santa suit laying on the ground. Guy fell. Not my fault. Reindeer on the roof. That is hard to explain.
It's the ladder.
A ladder appears out of nowhere. Scott bangs into it.
Where the hell did this come from?
Charlie points to a sign.
Look here, Dad. The Rosuchik Ladder Company.
Huh?
Out by the roof, there's a Rosuchik Ladder. Just like the poem.
Just like the poem?
Charlie climbs up.
Charlie, come on down from there. Charlie, get down from there!
Dad! You gotta see this!
Don't touch anything.
It's great!
I'm just gonna call the police. I'll carry this stuff up there. Let them deal with it, okay?
Scott holds up Santa's pants.
Whoa. This guy was huge.
Dad, isn't this neat?
Charlie! Stay away from those things. They're reindeer. You don't know where they've been. They all look like they've got key Lyme disease.
He climbs up. Scott wrinkles his nose at the lead reindeer.
Easy, Rudolph.
Scott spies the reindeer's name tag.
Excuse me, Comet.
Dad, check out Santa's sleigh!
There's no such thing as Santa's sleigh.
Sure there is. You said you believe in Santa, right?
I did? I do.
What about the reindeer? These are Santa's reindeer, aren't they?
I hope not. These are,
Charlie sits in the front of the sleigh.
A gift. Probably from the cable company. We're getting the Disney Channel now. Merry Christmas. Now, hop out of it, please.
I don't want to go.
Listen, Charlie, I'm not kidding. Let's go!
As Scott tumbles into the back of the sleigh, it takes off. Charlie grips the reins, driving the team. The reindeer scoot to the edge of the roof, plummet to the street, then fly an inch off the ground, passing a delivery van. Wrinkling his brow, the heavyset driver turns to them with a curious stare. He shuts his eyes in dismay, then reopens them.
Dad, climb up here!
Scott clambers to the front, then turns to the driver.
So, if we go straight on this road, do we hit I-94?
The sleigh suddenly lurches forward, shooting into the sky. It zooms above the city, then heads for a snowy rooftop. With smaller steps, the reindeer come to a stop. The sleigh slides down an incline, landing with a bump.
Well, we made good time. Now what do we do?
Get the bag of toys.
And do what?
Go down the chimney.
Down the chimney? You want me to take the toys down the chimney? Into a strange house in my underwear?
No. Gotta put the suit on first.
You know what we're gonna do is we're gonna get out of here because this whole thing is stupid.
How come everything I wanna do is stupid?
Scott frowns thoughtfully.
I didn't say that.
Comet watches with a sad look. Charlie shuts his eyes in resignation. Scott scrunches up his face. Then pulls off his jacket. It gets tangled in his arms. He rips it off, then dumps it in the back of the sleigh.
Freezing my nubs off out here. You want me to get the Santa costume? This is great. Santa costume. This thing, you never know where it's been.
He puts on the huge red pants.
1,000 miles. Well, I hope you're happy, Comet. Hope you're happy. But most of all, I hope the guy that lives here is a tailor. Nice coat.
He puts it on.
Well,
how do I look? Nice?
You've got sash.
You're right. This completes the ensemble. All right. Got my boots. Now I've got the suit on. How am I supposed to know what to leave?
Maybe there's a list.
A list? How silly of me. Of course there's a list.
Reaching into the back, he picks up a red sack. It lifts him into the air.
I'm okay.
Whoa! You're flying!
It's okay, I'm used to it. I lived through the 60s. Whoa.
It carries him to the chimney. He drops in, squeezing all the way down. As he lands in an empty fireplace, the sack plops onto his head. Scott rubs his forehead and looks around the deserted living room. Standing, he drags the bag behind him. It barely budges. He heaves it over his shoulder. His hooded, dark red coat is trimmed with white fur. He goes over to a tree decorated with silver and gold balls. Loosening the drawstring, he opens the crimson sack, takes out a pair of snow boots, and places them beneath the tree. Digging out a toy dump truck, he puts it beside the boots. As he rises, a Rottweiler saunters in, its long pink tongue wagging. Scott's eyes widen at the dog, then he flashes a broad grin.
Nice teeth.
Scott goes for a window.
Who's down there?
Mm-hmm. Turning back, he skirts the dog.
Holidays, come on.
Scott ducks back inside the fireplace and shoots up the chimney, which spits him magically into the air.
Whoa! How'd you do that? What did it feel like, Dad?
It felt like America's Most Wanted. Now pull me in quick. We gotta get out of here. Thanks. We gotta go home. How do you start this thing? Just like that.
He flicks the reins, the sleigh takes off, then alights on a nearby roof.
Whoa!
This could be a really long night.
Do it again, Dad. Please.
I can't. The thing's empty.
As he holds up the sack, Comet frowns.
There's nothing in the bag. Even if there was, didn't you notice there's no chimney? Well, there's no chimney, there's no fireplace.
Comet grits his teeth.
Are you growling at me?
He nods.
Look, Comet, like I said, there is nothing left.
The sack is full.
That's so weird, because I know when I did...
As he grips the drawstring, the sack lifts him into the air again.
There's no chimney here! Can you hear me? No chimney, all right?
He hovers above a small exhaust vent.
You have got to be kidding. Come on, look at the size of this thing.
He squeezes into the vent about 3 inches wide. In the house below, a radiator quickly transforms into an old-fashioned fireplace. Scott floats down into it, shaking his head in disbelief.
Weird. Ow.
Bending over, he shuts the door of a wood-burning stove and burns his hand.
Ow! Oh!
He bumps his head. The noise wakes a little girl sleeping on a sofa nearby.
Santa?
Scott Calvin.
How come your clothes are so baggy?
Because Santa is watching his saturated fats.
How come you don't have a beard?
Because I shaved. Do you want this doll or not? Go back to sleep.
He flings the doll under the tree and heads for the fireplace, grabbing some stalks of celery beside cookies and a glass of milk.
You're supposed to drink the milk.
Look, I am lactose intolerant, and I am just about this close to taking all those presents back to the chimney with me.
He chomps a celery stick.
Supposed to drink that milk. Shut your eyes. No!
As the sack pulls him up the chimney, the fireplace changes back to a radiator.
How do you get in without a fireplace?
I don't know.
One just kind of appeared.
Awesome.
Moments later, Scott and Charlie fly through the city. Now in another house, Scott pulls an 8-foot-tall kayak out of the sack. Staggering beneath it, he collides into the furniture. Spinning around, he bangs into a chair, then sets the kayak down. He eases it against a wall so it leans beside the Christmas tree. Gently letting go, he eyes his work with satisfaction, then bends back over the sack. The kayak tumbles over, toppling the tree. Scott scrunches up his face in frustration, then digs way down into the sack and comes out with a 6-foot-long oar. He hurls it on top of the kayak. Later, the reindeer gallop through the dark blue sky.
Charlie, look at the clouds over here. Aren't they pretty? Charlie!
Charlie sits in back, hugging a yellow Labrador with a red bow around its neck. As the boy beams, the puppy licks his face. Scott smiles, then grips the reins.
Yeah!
At dawn, the sleigh sails through the orange sky. Charlie sleeps, resting his head on Scott's shoulder. As his father turns to look at the sunrise, the boy wakes.
All right. Morning, fellas. Morning, sport. We're done, Comet.
Oh, oh, oh.
Back to the house. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. When I wake up, I'm getting a CAT scan.
They zoom higher and higher, disappearing into fluffy white clouds. Now they sail through falling snowflakes in a night sky. Making a U-turn, the reindeer land on deserted, frozen tundra. Rising, Scott stares into the icy emptiness as snow flutters all around them.
Is this okay, Dad?
No, it's not okay. Hey, does this look like home to you guys?
The reins slip out of Scott's hand. The reindeer run off.
No, 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 no. Hey, hey, hey! Where are you going? Come back here!
He plops down beside Charlie and hangs his head.
In the silence of the night,
a boy steps out from behind an ice cap.
Hey, hey! Hey, buddy! You, sir! Hey!
Taking off his gloves, the boy rubs his hands and turns to them with a smile.
Can you hear me?
The pointy-eared boy crouches down and presses a button in the snow. A red and white striped pole rises out of the ground.
What's that?
I don't know. I think it's the North Pole.
That's the North Pole? Hey, buddy, we need your help. Hello? What are you doing?
A keypad pops out of the pole. The boy hits a series of numbers, and a hole opens up beneath the sleigh. Scott and Charlie slowly sink into it. As the boy walks off, the pole retracts into the ground. In the underworld below, one of the reindeer materializes in a stable. A girl strokes its back. Nearby, other children work and play. They have long, pointed ears and bright sparkles on their cheeks. The elves are chubby and thin, dark-haired and blonde, and all different races. A slab of blue ice bearing the sleigh lowers from an icy chute. As the reindeer gazes up at it, the girl whispers in its ear. It nods in response.
Sit back.
In the sleigh, Scott and Charlie look around in wonder. They descend into a round room surrounded by stables and twisting golden columns. Many elves gather around. One leans against a pole with a wry smile. He appears about 13 and wears a beret over his straggly black hair. He eyes Scott and Charlie as the sleigh touches down.
All the grown-ups.
This is so cool.
Stay here.
He hops out.
Hey, kid, who's in charge here?
You are. And I'm not a kid. I have pointy shoes that are older than you. An elf.
I mean, you guys. Or you girls. Who gives the orders? Who's your boss?
You are.
No. Who's the head elf?
You are.
Hey, who's causing all the trouble around here?
She is.
Excuse me, are we on a coffee break?
We don't drink coffee.
Then I guess the break is over. Back to work, thanks.
Take it easy on her, will you? Who are you?
I'm Bernard. Nice to meet you, Santa.
I'm not Santa. I've had a rough night. There's been dogs barking, guns going off. Look, my back's killing me. If you ever try to shove a sea kayak down a chimney, I'm tired of this small talk.
The other Santa disappeared, right?
Wait a minute. Hey, I know where this is going. It wasn't my fault. The other guy fell. It was an accident. I've got homeowner's insurance and a good attorney. Not as good as my wife's, but let's not open up that wound. Hold on a minute. Whoa. How did you know the other guy was gone?
Can I get you a drink?
No, I don't want a drink.
I'm thirsty and hungry, too.
Charlie, I thought I told you to stay in the sleigh.
Who's this?
What is this? This is my son, Charlie. I'm sorry, Charlie, this is
Bernard.
Bernard.
Hi, Bernard.
Hi, sport.
Hey, Dad, he called me sports, like you.
Wonderful.
Hey, you know what? I got something for you. Okay, now hold out your hand, all right? Now, be very careful. This is very old, just like me.
He hands Charlie a snow globe.
Shake it up, Charlie.
Inside the glass ball, there's a tiny toy village surrounded by evergreen trees. Charlie shakes it. Snowflakes swirl around the houses, and a sleigh drawn by reindeer zips past.
Oh.
Why don't you hold on to it for me for a while? It might come in handy.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. I promise I'll take real good care of it.
Make sure you do.
I will. Hey, Dad, look!
He shows it to Scott.
Fabulous ball. Hey, Barabbas.
Bernard.
Bernard, can we take a direct flight back to reality, or do we have to change planes in Denver?
Larry, take Charlie here and get him some chow.
No, Larry, don't do that. Charlie?
He'll be okay. Follow me. You want to get out of those clothes.
Look, Barnaby, I just want to go home.
Now, in a workshop, two wind-up toys play tiny xylophones. Shelves and tables are crammed with a variety of toys as elves busily prepare for next Christmas. One puts eyes on a doll. Another drives a child-sized train full of stuffed animals. Two large candy canes frame the doorway as Scott follows the straggly-haired, beret-wearing Bernard into the toy factory.
Look, I am not Santa Claus!
He gapes at the workshop.
Ah!
Did you or did you not read the card?
Yeah, I read the card.
Then you're the new Santa. In putting on the hat and jacket, you accepted the contract.
What contract?
The card in the Santa suit. You said you read it, right? So when you put on the suit, you fell subject to the Santa Claus. Here.
The Santa Claus? Oh, you mean the guy that fell off my roof?
No. Not Santa Claus, the person. Santa Claus, the clause.
What?
Look, you're a businessman, right?
Yeah.
Okay. A clause, as in the last line of a contract.
Scott knits his eyebrows.
You got the card? Yeah.
Holding it under a magnifying glass, Bernard reads the red border.
The Santa Claus. And putting on the suit and entering the sleigh, the wearer waives any and all rights to any previous identity, real or implied, and fully accepts the duties and responsibilities of Santa Claus in perpetuity until such time that wearer becomes unable to do so by either accident or design.
What does that mean?
It means you put on the suit, you're the big guy.
It's ridiculous. I never put on a suit since a...
Try to understand this! Let me explain something to you, okay? Toys have to be delivered. I'm not gonna do it. It's not my job. I'm just an elf. It's Santa's job, but Santa fell off the roof. Your roof. You read the card, you put on the suit that clearly falls under the Santa Claus, so now you're Santa, okay?
A question.
What?
When can I get out of here?
Dad, you gotta see this place!
You leave tomorrow morning. You have 11 months to get your affairs in order, and you're due back here Thanksgiving.
I'm not coming back here on Thanksgiving.
I'll ship the list to your house.
What list?
Come on, look. A list.
He eyes Scott with a knowing nod.
He's making a list.
Tracking it twice.
You're gonna find out who's naughty or nice.
Ugh. Look, you put a P next to the kids who are nice and a C next to the naughty ones.
P and C?
Yeah. P for present, C for pool, right, Bernard?
Right.
Wait a minute, how do I know who's good and bad?
You'll know.
What if I don't want to do this?
Don't even kid about a thing like that.
Why not? What if I don't buy into this Santa Claus thing? What if I choose not to believe it?
The elves stop working and turn to him with stunned faces. A small, toddler-sized one starts to cry. Scott looks around with a forced grin.
Then there would be millions of disappointed children around the world. You see, children hold the spirit of Christmas within their hearts. You wouldn't want to be responsible for killing the spirit of Christmas, now would you? Santa?
Bernard turns away.
Judy will take you to your room. Get out of the suit. It needs to be cleaned.
And taken in.
Then get some sleep. We've got a lot of work to do and only a year in which to do it.
He marches off. A train pulls up behind Scott, carrying a cute elf with long brown hair. Charlie sits beside her.
Judy?
Santa?
Scott Calvin.
Follow me.
The train starts to pull away.
I'll just take the next train.
Dad, come on!
Charlie!
He runs alongside them.
Come on, Dad!
Charlie, wait up!
Now a large bedroom. Two Punch and Judy puppets perform on a small stage. Below them, a model train runs along a track past pretty dolls and stuffed animals. Charlie and Judy enter through a 4-foot-high opening in a door. Behind them, Scott bumps his head. He opens the whole door and steps inside.
Can I get you anything? The kitchen's always open.
What a stiff drink.
You should get some sleep.
Charlie hops onto a king-sized bed.
Here are your pajamas. I'll be right back.
As she leaves, Scott examines the red silk pajamas. Embroidered were the initials SC. Against a nearby wall, the puppet show continues. Scott saunters over to the bed, peels off his red suspenders, and drops his pants, revealing polka dot boxer shorts. He quickly pulls them back on. Outside, Judy approaches the bedroom carrying a mug. A group of elves peers through the door's tinted windows.
Shoo!
They scamper off. She steps up to the door.
Santa?
Scott Calvin!
A doorman elf opens it up. Judy steps inside. Scott sits on the floor wearing the PJs.
I brought you some cocoa.
Oh, thanks.
My own recipe. Took me 1,200 years to get it right.
1,200 years.
That's right.
He takes the mug.
You know, I must say, you look pretty good for your age.
Thanks, but I'm seeing someone in wrapping.
Turning away, Scott mouths the word, okay.
Hmm.
He takes a sip from the ornate silver mug.
It's good. This is really good.
Not too hot. Extra chocolate. Shaken, not stirred.
He steps onto a balcony.
You look distressed.
Distressed? I'm way past distressed.
Why is that?
I'm talking to an elf. And I stopped believing in Santa Claus a long time ago.
That's not surprising. Most grown-ups can't believe in magic. It just sort of grows out of them.
Look, you're a nice little elf.
Thanks.
This is a dream. I mean, this is fabulous. Is that a polar bear directing traffic down there? I see it, but I don't believe it.
You're missing the point.
What is the point?
Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. Kids don't have to see this place to know that it's here. They just know. Well, you should get some rest. Good night, sir.
As she smiles, sparkles glimmer on her rosy cheeks. Judy turns away and heads out. Scott approaches the bed and lies down next to the sleeping Charlie. Snuggling up, he studies his son warmly for a moment and strokes his face. Charlie's eyes flutter open and return his father's tender gaze. Scott pats Charlie's arm. The boy touches his dad's hand. With a broad grin, Scott turns over, settles in, then shuts his eyes. Daytime. Scott sleeps in his own bed. Scott snoozes like a lump.
Dad.
Charlie hops onto the bed.
Oh,
let's start shaking,
Dad,
Charlie.
Up, get up.
Okay.
Okay,
you all
right?
Okay. Go make some coffee. Okay.
He sticks a hand out from under his comforter and waves his son away. Slowly rising, Scott's head peeks out. He looks around his bedroom with a sleepy, confused look. The walls are painted light gray. A framed photograph hangs above his bed. As he stands, the comforter falls away, revealing his red silk pajamas. He stretches his back, then opens a set of Venetian blinds. Sunlight floods the room, throwing stripes across his chest. Scratching his stomach, he stares down at his PJs and fingers them curiously. The letters S and C are stitched on the pocket. His eyes fly open in shock. Moments later, Scott speeds down the staircase, then dashes out the front door. Barefoot, he steps into the snow, looking for the fallen Santa Claus. He digs with his hands. There is no one there. Rushing to the curb, he gazes up at the roof. Empty. He shrugs his shoulders in bewilderment. Back inside, Charlie sits at the foot of the tree opening presents. Scott enters and plops down in a chair.
Whew.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah, just fine, just fine.
Are you having a heart attack? I know CPR.
SC.
Yeah, Santa Claus. Hey, same initials as your name, Dad. Scott Calvin.
What?
Running to the door, Charlie opens it for Laura.
I don't know.
Judy gave them to you.
Judy, really?
Who?
Up at the North Pole.
Oh, one of Santa's little helpers.
Last night, Dad and me went with the flying reindeer. It was really neat, Mom. Dad was Santa, and Larry showed me the workshop. You know where they make all the toys?
Gee, thanks for keeping his feet on the ground.
You bet.
Honey, you can wait in the car for a minute, okay? I'll be right there.
Merry Christmas.
So, what have you been telling him?
Nothing. It's just, I had this really strange dream, and I must have told him all about it. Wait!
Scott runs outside to Charlie and Neil.
Charlie, Scott.
Hi, Dad.
Nice jammies.
Thanks. About what you said in the house, who showed you the workshop?
The elf.
How'd I get the pajamas?
I told you, Judy.
Oh, wait, wait. Judy was the name of the waitress at the restaurant last night.
Some waitress gave you pajamas.
What's this all about?
Dad took me to the North Pole, and Larry showed me the workshop.
The North Pole?
Yeah, Dad's the new Santa. The regular Santa fell off the roof, and Dad put on the suit.
Charlie, we'll discuss this at home.
Scott shuts the door for his son.
Claus. Santa Claus. It's just a dream. Stuff like that doesn't happen. It was a dream. Come on. I don't even wear pajamas. Normally I sleep naked. Buck naked. Ha! Morning, Mrs. McGloin. Mary Catherine.
I slept Mary Catherine.
Sometimes. Boxer shorts.
Now a fireman.
So remember, kids, there is nothing more painful than third-degree burns.
A classroom of kids gapes dumbfounded.
Oh, thank you, Fireman O'Hara. And I think the whole class will join me in saying sorry about your partner. Well, perhaps this is a good time to bring up the psychiatrist. Charlie, would you like to introduce your, Dr. Miller?
Can I ask Dad to go first?
Well, if that's how you feel, Charlie, that's how he feels, Neil. Nice sweater, buddy.
Charlie and Scott step to the front.
This is my dad, Scott Calvin. He's got a really neat job.
Thank you, Charlie.
My dad is Santa Claus.
Oh, boy. I think what he means is I'm like Santa Claus. We're both giving. We're both jolly. And we both work very hard one day a year.
That's not what I mean, Dad. Look, on Christmas Eve, my dad pushed Santa off the roof.
Oh, Charlie,
Santa disappeared, and my dad took his place.
Charlie!
Then I went with him to deliver all the presents. Then the reindeer flew us to the North Pole, where the head elf, Bernard, gave me this.
The snow globe.
Look, I work for a toy company. I deliver toys all over the country. So in a way, I'm like Santa Claus.
A girl raises her hand.
Yes, sweetheart.
Do you make the toys?
No, stupid. The elves do.
Bobby, we don't say stupid, and we don't say elves. They're little people.
No, but they really are elves.
Whatever, honey.
Which one's your favorite reindeer? Comet.
I don't have a favorite.
So, let me get this straight, Santa. You mean, when I grow up, if I want to be Santa Claus, all I gotta do is push you off a roof?
Later, Scott, Laura, and Neil sit in a guidance counselor's office.
What do you think? He's
just nice to hear it from him. Is that a problem with you?
All right. So?
May I speak, please? I am a doctor.
No, he's not. He's a psychiatrist.
Please. Go ahead, Dr. Miller.
Well, I guess we know who's the teacher's pet.
Scott. Oh, grow up.
The reason we're here is that this is far more serious than a boy believing or not believing in Santa Claus.
That's right, because Charlie thinks that this whole thing actually happened.
Scott, what was the last thing you and Charlie did before you went to bed Christmas Eve?
We shared a bowl of sugar, some shots of brown liquor, played with my shotguns, field-dressed a cat, looked for women. I read him a book.
What book?
Hollywood Wives. The night before Christmas, folks, come on.
And did you go to the North Pole?
This is ridiculous. I don't have time for this.
Ridiculous or not, Scott, for Charlie, this isn't some dream. It is real. You need to sit down with Charlie. Explain to him you are not Santa Claus.
No, a zoo.
I like the bears in the North Pole, Dad.
Charlie, I already told you we did not go to the North Pole. That was a dream.
You're in denial, Dad.
Denial? You don't even know what that means.
Well, you are. I know what happened.
How do you know that? How? You don't have any proof.
Proof?
Why can't we both think of it as just a great dream and forget about it?
What about this? Remember all the neat stuff inside?
Charlie.
He takes the snow globe.
This is a toy. We used to make things like this at work, but no one bought them. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Later.
I know who you are, Dad. You'll figure it out soon enough. There are a lot of kids that believe in you. You can't let them down.
Charlie, you're wrong.
The boy eyes him warily, then glances behind them and breaks into a smile.
What's so funny?
Nothing.
Several paces behind them, eight reindeer trot down the walkway. Waving his arms, a zookeeper tries to catch up. Later at home, Laura stands outside Charlie's bedroom.
Keep those reindeer rolling.
A crayon sign reads, "The North Pole South." Laura opens the door and finds Charlie sitting behind chairs set up as an imaginary team of reindeer.
I told you, should have gone before we left the North Pole.
Knitting her brow worriedly, she softly shuts the door. In the hallway, she bites her lower lip, then turns away. Later, Scott drives up to the house in his silver sedan. Laura steps outside into the cool spring day and approaches the car as Scott climbs out.
Where is he?
Well, he could be in his room, jumping up and down on his bed, wearing a red hat and galoshes.
I don't care what Neil's doing. Where's Charlie?
Oh, I see. Well, if you can't be Father of the Year, why not be Father Christmas, huh?
Charlie, it's just not logical.
Neil spins a globe.
How can one man, in one night, visit all the children of the world?
Not everyone celebrates Christmas. And I think there's some sort of time continuum that breaks down what's in the sleigh.
What about fireplaces? A lot of people don't have them. How does Santa visit those people?
He turns into jello and the fireplace kind of appears and goes through it like this.
What about the reindeer? Have you ever seen a reindeer fly?
Yes.
Well, I haven't.
Have you ever seen $1 million?
No.
Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Hey, Neil. Howdy, sport.
Hi, Dad.
You want to take a walk? I want to talk to you.
Sure. I've got my coat.
Good. Hustle up.
Scott, can I have a minute?
Sure.
I think Charlie is conflicted at the moment.
Wow. Really? Boy. Appreciate your analysis. I really do. Boy, you got more important things to worry about, you know? Like, where are you gonna get more sweaters after the circus pulls out of town?
Scott, I mean, you're not listening. We are very concerned about this.
Concerned about what?
If Charlie's spending time with you is the best thing for him.
Shaking his head, Scott licks his lips and walks away. Laura and Neil turn to each other with a look of concern.
You were right about the sweater. Okay.
Scott and Charlie in a park.
Do you think by next year I'll be big enough to drive the sleigh all by myself?
No.
But I've been practicing.
No, that's not what I'm talking about, Charlie. Hold on a second. We've got to talk about the Santa Claus thing.
Scott hesitates, then shakes his head sadly.
Charlie, there is no...
No what, Dad?
Scott gazes down at his son's troubled expression.
There's no reason why we have to tell anybody about the North Pole.
Why not?
Well, sometimes some things, big things, should remain unsaid. Like between two people?
Oh, you mean like a secret?
Yes. Like a secret. Let's keep it secret.
How come?
Because of Mom and Neil. Not just because of them. Their school. Everybody thinks, well, it's not important what they think. It... That is $5 on you.
Charlie stares.
This is something I really want you to do for me, sport. I want to keep this secret. Will you do that? Please?
Okay, Dad.
Finally, Charlie grins.
Great. You don't have to worry about the Santa Claus thing anymore.
They start back toward the house.
So when did I get the $5?
Morning. Scott's sleek silver alarm clock reads 7:15. We see Scott huddled under the blanket, then his feet as he swings his legs out of bed.
Oof.
He pads into the bathroom. He looks into the mirror. Ha! A beard covers his face.
Huh?
Eyes wide, he studies his belly, which is surprisingly round and chubby.
Oof.
Scott scowls, then smiles.
Something's wrong with the mirror.
He steps on a digital scale, which races up to 192 pounds.
What? Something's wrong with the scale.
He bolts back to the mirror.
Ah!
Later, he pushes out of a crowded elevator.
Excuse me?
I'll have a field green salad and oh my God.
Scott's co-workers gape as he runs toward the conference room wearing tight gray sweats.
Calvin.
Clean shaven, Scott freezes.
Sorry, the dry cleaner in my neighborhood went up in smoke, some big chemical fire, all my clothes, poop, gone. Oh my
God, your weight. What happened?
Scott fidgets.
Bee sting. Evidently, I'm allergic. Almost killed me. But the guy at the emergency room says the swelling will go down. I hope. So, did I miss anything?
No, we were just about to order lunch.
Great! I'm starving.
I'll have a salad and iced tea and dressing on the side.
Pasta and tomatoes, and very light on the oil. Can you do that?
And I'll have a Caesar, no dressing. And one of those homemade cookies, the warm chocolate chip, no nuts. And a little slice of cheesecake, creme brulee, and hot fudge sundae. Extra hot fudge.
Everyone glares disapprovingly.
On the side.
Anything to drink?
Ice cold milk.
Stung by a bee, Scott?
A big bee?
Later, everyone watches in disbelief as Scott eagerly scrapes the bottom of his empty ice cream dish. He finally looks up at Mr. Whittle, his boss, who responds with a sickly grin.
Finished?
Scott sheepishly licks his spoon. Another ad executive stands up.
Okay, now remember, this is just a storyboard. But here is our preliminary total tank TV spot. Okay, now we've got Santa. He's up in the North Pole. He's getting ready for Christmas.
Oh, no.
Problem?
It's just a little thing. The elves?
What about the elves?
They look so funny.
Well, they're supposed to look funny. Yeah. They're elves.
Just my opinion. Can't they look a little younger? With silver specks on their cheeks?
Can we continue here?
Okay. Now this year, Santa's not going out in a sleigh. This time, he's going total tank.
Wait a minute. No way. No way Santa's going anywhere without his sleigh.
He would if he's trying to sell the total tank.
Well, isn't that a pretty picture? Santa rolling down the block in a Panzer.
Well, kids, I certainly hope you've been good this year, because it looks like Santa just took out the Pearson home.
It's coming! Oh. And another thing, but what about the reindeer? Reindeer and Santa, Santa and a reindeer, it's kind of a package deal.
Calvin.
You don't believe in Santa, do you?
Calvin, can we get back to the presentation?
We're not done yet. Since we've opened this box, have any of you tried to build the total tank? It's got 10,000 parts, and even if you do get it together, it breaks 10 minutes later. Then you gotta spend more money just to buy new parts.
Well, I thought that was the whole point.
No. What we gotta do is develop a basic, simple, inexpensive toy that will nurture a child's creative thinking.
Calvin.
Here, try the brown one.
Can I see you outside a minute?
Scott picks up two brownies and follows Mr. Whittle into the hallway.
I don't know what's happening to you. You're starting to look like the Pillsbury Doughboy. You're falling apart.
I know. I don't know what came over me.
Well, just get some help, you know? You should see a doctor, a shrink, a dietitian, anything. Just get some help.
Mr. Whittle stalks back into the conference room. Scott bites into a brownie. Later, in a doctor's office, Scott runs in place on a treadmill. His tummy, twice as big as before, jiggles up and down as he moves. His hair is silver gray, and he now has a full beard and mustache. The doctor checks his watch.
Hey, Scott. Time is up. Get over here and check your pulse.
All right.
The doctor places his fingers on Scott's wrist.
Okay.
He checks his watch. His grin fades.
Huh. Well, nuts. Oh, no, your pulse is great. I don't know, Scott. You're as healthy as a horse.
Yeah. Clydesdale.
Okay, look, so what? You put on a little weight.
A little weight? Does this look like a little weight to you?
Weight can fluctuate from year to year.
Fluctuate? You make it sound like I'm retaining water. I've gained 45 pounds in a week. Pete, what's happening to me?
What's your diet like?
Milk and cookies.
Really?
But I don't finish all the milk.
Well, then there is your problem. Just try to cut back on the sweets, okay? Anything else?
Yeah. How fast does hair grow? Facial hair.
What?
Scott talks into the stethoscope.
I shave in the morning. In the afternoon, I look like this.
Well, it could be a hormonal imbalance.
That would explain the mood swings.
Mood swings?
Yeah, but look at my hair. It's turning gray.
Oh, it's middle age, buddy. It happens. And with that body, you should be thankful you have hair. Look, if it bothers you, you can dye it. And you should dye it. just kidding. Okay, up with the shirt. Let's take a listen to the old ticker. Whoa. Okay.
Oh, it's cool.
The doctor listens to Scott's heart.
Thank you.
Now in a park. Wearing a green uniform, Charlie plays soccer with a group of kids. Scott sits on a bench watching the game. A freckled, chubby-cheeked little girl sits on the other end of the bench and stares at him. Scott glares at her, then nonchalantly slides further away. The little girl follows, edging closer and closer. Finally, she stands up and taps Scott on the shoulder. Scott scowls in annoyance and turns to face her.
What?
She climbs into his lap.
I want some ballet slippers.
On the field, Charlie runs around with the other boys and girls chasing the black and white soccer ball. Laura and Neil pull up in their car, smiling at the game. Laura climbs out and catches sight of Scott. Her mouth drops open. Six kids line up in front of Scott, taking turns sitting in his lap.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, my God.
They hurry toward Scott.
Hold on a minute.
Wait a minute. Wait, I'm not done.
Fax me. Hi. Hey, this probably looks pretty odd, doesn't it? These kids lined up all by themselves. Scott, I think it's safe to say you're taking the Santa thing to an unhealthy level. Here's my card. Call me.
Scott, I really have to tell you that this is beginning to scare me. I never in my wildest, well, no, okay, maybe my wildest, but certainly never in my normal dreams. But then this is Scott we're talking
Laura,
about.
Laura, the point?
I never thought you would stoop to changing your physical appearance in order to make Charlie like you. Do you have any concept of how dangerous this is to
whoa.
A little boy?
Whoa, how
Mom,
dangerous?
Come on, Charlie, we're going home.
But we just started.
You let him stay, I'll go.
You don't get your act together, Scott, so help me.
Laura drags Charlie away. On another day, a delivery man arrives at Scott's doorstep. Scott answers, wearing a full white beard of shaving cream.
Hi there.
Hi. I got a delivery for SC. USC?
Scott Calvin, that's me.
Yeah, sign here, please.
The delivery man stares at him curiously.
Thanks. I'll get your packages.
Packages?
Yeah, there's quite a few of them.
Great. I'll leave the door open. Just leave them inside here.
Hello.
Scott goes back inside. Later, he trots downstairs and pauses. Hundreds and hundreds of shiny red metal boxes crowd his house in tall, impassable stacks. Scott, his beard gone but hair still silver, stares at the piles in disbelief. He walks the rest of the way downstairs and finds an envelope attached to the Federal Express receipt. Scott opens it and pulls out a note written in graceful script. It reads, "Here's the list. Check it twice. Yours, Bernard."
It's the list.
Scott winces as he opens the first box. The stationery is emblazoned with the letter A, written in cherry red, followed by dozens of names that begin with an A.
Armand Asante?
Yo!
He runs outside.
Hold it, hold it.
The fleet of trucks hurries away.
You! Take that! Come on!
Stay away from the truck.
What are we supposed to do with all these packages, guys? Come on!
That night at Neil and Laura's house.
You know, I knew it. I knew that something was going on. I can't believe is that he would go behind our backs all this time, confusing Charlie again. What are we supposed to do?
Well, there's one obvious alternative.
Laura stares at him with a puzzled frown. Daytime. Wearing a red shirt, red sneakers, and a green jacket, Scott strolls down a street studying the kids that pass by.
Annie, nice.
Beep.
Johnny, naughty.
Johnny, wait up.
Gary, nice.
A slender blonde woman.
Veronica, very nice.
In your dreams, playboy.
He watches her miniskirt swish away. Later, Scott stands in front of his bathroom mirror, shaving off his full white beard. A plastic hairnet covers his dyed brown hair. He finishes shaving and pats his double-chinned face dry, then smiles contentedly at his reflection. Suddenly, the beard sprouts back, and his hair turns snowy white.
I'm in big trouble.
Now, Laura, Neil, and Charlie sit in the waiting room of a law office. A man in a dark suit approaches them.
Charlie, do you mind if I talk to you for a minute?
It's okay, honey. Come on.
Charlie follows him reluctantly into his office.
We won't be long.
He stares forlornly at his mother as the door swings shut.
Are we doing the right thing, Neil?
Something needs to shake Scott.
Yeah, but to take away his visitation rights... It...
Honey, the man is delusional.
Okay. So maybe I'm having second thoughts, kind of. What was so bad about Charlie believing in Santa?
Well, he's a little old. Oh, come on, Laura. Don't you remember when you stopped believing in Santa Claus?
I was Charlie's age, I guess. I wrote Santa a letter every week that year. Well, I mean, okay, you know, maybe not every week, but... Boy, I really wanted a Mystery Day game. Do you remember those? No, of course you don't. You know, no one does. I don't even think they make them anymore, but... Well, anyway, Christmas morning came and... Oh, I got dozens of presents. Oh, I got everything. Except Mystery Date.
Laura bows her head.
I was 3. And it was an Oscar Mayer weenie whistle. Christmas came. No weenie whistle. And that's when I stopped believing.
You were 3?
Yeah.
Oh, Neil.
Scott runs toward them dressed in red and green.
Where's Charlie? I want to talk to him.
He's with the judge.
The office door opens.
Yeah!
He runs into Scott's arms.
It's all okay. I told the judge everything. About you in the North Pole.
After reviewing all of your testimonies, I've come to a very difficult decision. I'm sorry to do this in light of the holiday season, but in the best interest of the child, I'm granting the petition of Dr. and Mrs. Miller. Mr. Kelvin, as of today, all of your visitation rights are suspended pending a hearing after the first of the year.
Later, on another night, Scott shuffles down a snowy street wearing a red hat and a woolly red sweater embroidered with reindeer. His hands buried in his pockets, he bows his head and wanders toward Charlie's house. Scott stands outside the dining room window and stares into the warm, glowing room. Neil serves Thanksgiving turkey to Laura and Charlie, who sits with his magic snow globe in front of his plate. Laura tenderly strokes his hair. Charlie responds with a brief, sad smile. Neil opens the front door for Scott.
Hey, Neil.
Scott, you're not supposed to be here.
Don't make me beat you up, Neil.
Oh, would Santa really beat someone up?
I'm this close.
So you still believe you're Santa?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Of course you are, Dad. How can you say that? Think of all those kids.
The only kid I'm thinking about is you.
Dad, I'm fine. You can't let them down. They all believe in you.
Charlie, listen.
You listen. You think you know what he is? You don't.
Charlie, honey, listen. You're confused.
I know exactly who he is.
Charlie, he's not Santa.
He is too, Santa. We went to the North Pole together. I saw it. The elves are real old, even though they look like me. Bernard called me Spork, because he knew everything. Right, Dad?
Scott hesitates.
Remember!
Charlie tosses his snow globe to Scott, who stares through the glass. Amid the tiny swirling flakes of snow, Santa's team of reindeer pulls his sleigh over the snowy rooftops and disappears into the trees. Scott grins at Charlie, who runs into his father's embrace. He wraps his arms tightly around Scott's neck and squeezes his eyes shut with a happy smile.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you.
I love you, Dad.
Scott looks up at Laura and Neil.
Could you guys leave us alone for a minute? I mean, so I can say goodbye to him properly.
Laura starts to nod her consent. Neil glowers at her, then stalks away. Laura hurries after him with a flustered frown.
You saw it all come to life.
You bet I did.
Well, Charlie, I guess I better go.
I'll get my stuff.
Wait. I think it's a much better idea if you stayed here with your mom.
I want to be with you, Dad.
Boy, I love hearing you say that.
You mean I can go?
Suddenly, Bernard appears in the dining room.
Boy, this bird is dry. Haven't you people heard about basting?
Bernard!
Hiya, sport.
Bernard, can I go? Please, can I go, Bernard?
It's okay with me.
Charlie, if,
Laura walks into the hall, which is suspiciously empty.
Charlie?
She scans the empty rooms, then hurries out the front door. Daytime in a police squad room.
This is our perpetrator, Scott Calvin, 38 years old, believes himself to be Santa Claus. Ladies and gentlemen, this one's not going to be easy to find.
Won't the bright red suit and beard give him away?
The North Pole.
Charlie's got some great ideas on how to keep you safe. Santa, this is Quentin, head of research and development.
Quentin, good to meet you.
Hello, Santa. Charlie and I put our heads together, and I think we've got a few surprises for you.
This is some of the best stuff that's come out of the workshop since the ball.
Fabulous. What happens if I fall off the roof?
Is this the most current photo you have? Hold on.
At Charlie's house, Laura waits for a detective to turn on a tape, then picks up the phone.
Hello?
Mom?
Oh, Charlie. Oh, my God. Honey, how are you? Where are you? Are you okay?
I'm fine. We're up at the North Pole.
Charlie, are you sure you're okay?
I'm terrific. I'm helping the elves build a new sleigh. We're trying for a vertical takeoff. Well, gotta go. The elves need me.
No, Charlie, wait. No, don't hang up the phone, honey. Charlie, don't...
Fireplaces will no longer be a problem.
Dressed in long red underwear, Scott gapes as elves shoot flamethrowers at a shiny red suit.
It's a new fabric. Completely flame retardant. It's light, yet durable.
And you can wear the jumpsuit under your coat and pants.
But what do I do if I fall off a roof?
We'll cordon off a 3-block radius around Dr. Miller's house. Now, Calvin is to be apprehended unharmed. And remember, he'll probably be dressed like Santa Claus.
Now, Scott strides down a hallway wearing his new metallic red jumpsuit. Charlie, Bernard, Quentin, and Judy flank him like bodyguards. Back home, squad cars peel out of the police station parking lot, their lights flashing. In unison, Scott and his entourage raise their fists across their chests in a ninja strut. Now, several policemen grab a man dressed in a Santa suit. They throw him roughly across the hood of their car.
Not even my suit. It's a rental.
At home, Neil picks up Charlie's embroidered Christmas stocking. At the North Pole, Scott approaches one of the reindeer.
From Comet to Santa. Did you make the car?
Comet nods.
It's a nice rope. This in case I fall off the roof. Comet, this means a lot to me. Thanks, buddy.
Scott affectionately scratches Comet's ear. Now, Neil stands up and hangs Charlie's stocking over the glowing fireplace. At the North Pole, Scott climbs into his sleigh.
All right, let's go.
He grins at Charlie.
You ready to go, sport?
You betcha, Dad.
Now, Dasher, now, Dancer, now, Prancer and Vixen.
On Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen.
Yeah! Yeah!
The elves gather around and wave goodbye. The sleigh rises slowly in a perfect vertical takeoff, then streaks across the sky. Ah! With the reindeer's legs churning, they fly directly toward the moon. Now in the police station, Laura stares at a lineup of men in Santa suits.
Take your time.
The Santas are in all shapes and sizes.
Turn to your right. Hello.
One turns left by mistake. In the sleigh, Charlie plays with a control panel.
Charlie, stay in your seat.
I gotta show you this. Are you getting jingle bells, snow screen, DC 10 alert, and an air freshener?
Wow.
And most important of all, your hat.
My hat?
It's lined with two-way radio. The microphone's in here. It connects you directly to Judy.
Wait a minute, what's this?
Oh, that's a CD.
Compact disc.
No. Cookie cocoa dispenser. The cocoa comes out nice and hot. And out pops the cookie.
How could I have done this without you, Charlie?
You couldn't.
Later, Scott crouches next to a Christmas tree surrounded by piles of presents. The little girl from the year before lies sleeping in an armchair. Scott carefully puts down his sack to tuck a quilt around her. The little girl's eyes droop open. Scott smiles and waves, then raises a quieting finger to his lips. She smiles.
Your father this year.
Well, thank you very much. You've grown too. You're a very good girl this year. But I want you to go back to sleep, okay?
The little girl nods obediently and closes her eyes. Scott picks up a glass of milk and gulps it down. He winces and waggles his tongue back and forth in distaste. The little girl rolls over with a puzzled frown.
I think the milk's a little sour.
It's soy milk.
Huh?
You said you're lactose intolerant.
I did say that, didn't I? Thanks for remembering. Go to sleep.
Scott starts toward the fireplace, then pauses to stroke the little girl's hair.
Merry Christmas, Sarah.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Later, he and Charlie fly over a city.
Look! There's Mom in the old street. Can we go there next?
Sure.
I made something for them at the workshop.
Now in Neil and Laura's house, several policemen creep out of the shadows, beaming their flashlights toward the living room. Scott kneels in front of the tree, depositing his load of Christmas presents. With his back turned to the approaching policeman, he stands up, takes off his floppy red hat, and runs a hand through his long, snowy white hair.
Freeze!
He whirls around and drops his hat.
Oh, you officers really gave me a start. Merry Christmas, guys.
Not for you, fat boy.
Fat boy? Guys.
Nice and easy now.
They grab him roughly.
Guys, I got a lot of work to do. This is a big mistake, really. You gotta watch the suit, too. This is so old. It's an antique, you know.
Where's the boy?
He's in the sleigh.
Got Calvin. We're bringing him out.
Santa, are you okay? Over. Over.
Everyone ignores Scott's radio hat. As the policeman carries Scott outside by his elbows, neighbors and their children gather around to watch.
Santa, are you all right?
Santa?
It'll be okay, kids.
Let him go! Let Santa go!
They push Scott into the back seat of a squad car and slam the door behind him. Scott waves reassuringly at the worried-looking children as the car drives away. Standing on their front stoop, Neil and Laura go inside.
Honey? I'm sure Charlie's fine.
Our view glides up to the roof where Charlie crouches out of sight. At Santa's workshop, Judy runs toward Bernard and Quentin.
We've got a problem. Santa is at the Millers, but he's not responding.
Well, time to deploy ELFS.
Bernard yanks on a thick silk rope. Elves in green commando jumpsuits dash through a door marked ELFS, Effective Liberating Flight Squad. The four elves dash down a hallway lined with giant candy canes, synchronizing their watches as they run. Wearing jetpacks strapped to their backs, they punch more control buttons on their watches, leap off the ground, and take flight. Somersaulting and cartwheeling in midair, they spread their arms and soar through the icy chute toward the night sky. Now in a dark, smoky interrogation room.
Look, I know you're Scott Calvin. You know you're Scott Calvin. So let's make this simple. I say name, you say Scott Calvin. Name?
Kris Kringle.
Name?
Santa Claus.
Name?
Père Noël. Babbo Natale. Père's Nicole.
Topo Gigio.
Okay, Calvin. Maybe a couple hours in the tank will change your mind.
Scott cocks his head to one side with a curious frown. Now, outside Neil and Laura's house, a policeman sits in his car sipping coffee. The elf squad flies overhead. The policeman pauses, then climbs out and turns just as the elves disappear in back of the house. They land on the roof in front of Charlie.
Charlie?
Yeah?
Don't worry. We're the good guys. Come on, let's go save Sandy.
Charlie stands up with a sad frown.
I can't. The police are watching this place.
Yeah, they probably are. But you see, we weren't figuring on walking out the front door. We find that we can get around a lot faster if we fly. Now, grab hold of my hand and hang on tight. And Charlie?
Yeah?
Don't ever try this without elf supervision.
The head elf takes Charlie by the hand and flies off the roof, followed by the other elves. They zoom down toward the policeman from behind and brush over his head. He gags on his coffee. It spills down the front of his uniform. He stares in disbelief as the elves float away. Now at the police station, a chubby policeman sits at the front desk, eating a donut and reading a romance novel. A door swings shut all by itself. The policeman frowns and stands up. The short elves stare at him from the other side of the tall desk.
We're looking for Santa Claus.
Go home, kids. Visiting hours are over.
We're not kids, and we're not visiting.
We're here to bust out my dad.
You're the Calvin boy.
Charlie grins and thumbs his nose as the policeman turns his head.
Who are these other kids?
We're your worst nightmare. Elves with attitude.
The other elves throw the policeman into his chair and spin him around at lightning-fast speed, wrapping his entire body in gift ribbon.
Too bad that donut.
Cocooned in ribbon, he slows to a stop.
Untie me. I mean it.
Charlie shoves the donut into the policeman's mouth.
Charlie!
Dad?
I am now.
Two of the elves use thin silver ribbons to slice open the metal door of Scott's cell.
How'd you do that?
Tinsel. Not just for decoration.
Hey, excuse me. Can I get some of that tinsel?
They dash out the door past another prisoner, later at Neil and Laura's house.
Mom?
Laura and Neil stare at each other.
Mom!
Neil rushes to take Charlie in his arms.
Charlie.
Charlie.
Oh, my God. Charlie. Sweetheart. Oh, God. Come here. Oh.
Laura picks him up and hugs him.
Oh, my boy, you're home. Oh, I missed you so much. How are you? Are you okay? Look at me.
Scott bows his head, turns away, and peeks nervously out the window.
You were so worried. Oh, look at you. Look how could you look?
I don't have a lot of time.
Charlie runs to him.
Did you leave the gifts I made under the tree?
You bet I did.
We better go.
No, Charlie.
No. Wait, Charlie.
It's okay, Laura.
Charlie gazes expectantly at his father.
Actually, I think it's a much better idea that you stay here with your mom and Neil.
Really?
But, Dad...
No buts, Charlie. I can't be selfish. I can't be with you all the time. We're a family. You, me, your mom.
He nods reluctantly at Neil.
And Neil. And they need to be with you, too.
I miss you too much.
Charlie wraps his arms around Scott's big belly.
Come here a minute.
Laura blinks back tears.
Listen to me. Come on, now listen, there's a lot of kids out there, okay? Millions of kids. And they all believe in me. They're counting on me, Charlie, and I'm not gonna let them down. I got a lot of work to do.
So I can't be selfish either.
You gave me a wonderful gift, Charlie. Listen, a wonderful gift. You believed in me when nobody else did. You helped make me Santa. Selfish. You're the least selfish person I know.
Charlie buries his face in Scott's shoulder.
I love you, Santa Claus.
I love you, son.
Scott cradles Charlie in his arms. Laura's lips tremble into a smile. A tear rolls down her cheek. Scott puts Charlie on his lap and wipes away his tears.
Laura, what do you think? Christmas Eve, I spent with Charlie?
Oh, my God. It's you.
Scott and Charlie share a grin.
It really is you. You really are... Santa Claus.
Pretty cool, huh?
Oh, my God.
And your parents thought I'd never amount to anything.
Oh, wait. And don't go yet. I have something for you. It's Santa.
Neil gapes at her in disbelief.
Scott.
Neil?
Neil walks toward Scott with a skeptical smile. As he gets closer, his gaze narrows into Scott's twinkling blue eyes.
Santa?
It's okay, Neil.
Neil whirls away in shock. Laura hurries in.
Here. It's, well, it's my Christmas present for you. It's the custody papers. And... I want you to come and see Charlie as often as you can.
You can count on it. Thanks, Laura.
Laura tosses the custody papers into the fireplace and picks up Charlie.
Merry Christmas.
What's all this boo-hoo going on here? Hey, how you doing?
It's nothing, Bernard. I'm just saying goodbye to Charlie.
Well, goodbye. Charlie, you still got the glass ball, right?
Yeah.
Well, all you gotta do is shake it whenever you want to see your dad. He can come back to see you anytime, day or night. Hey, have I ever steered you wrong?
Bernard eyes Neil's striped sweater.
Nice sweater. Hey, did we make this?
Laura?
Bernard looks at the tag.
He's sucking us into his delusions. Look at the elaborate measures he's taken.
Neil, relax. I'll explain it to you later.
Bernard disappears.
Where'd he go?
Neil runs off. Now the neighborhood children gather around as a fleet of police cars surrounds the house. An armed SWAT team leaps out of the back of a truck. The sharpshooters position themselves around the house's doors and windows. The head detective waves the spectators behind a yellow tape.
Hey, stand back, folks. Give us a room.
Here you go, sir.
Return to your homes. Stay off the street. Come on, folks. Let us do our job here.
Excuse me. Hi. You don't have to send me.
Hey.
Oh, my gosh. Wait.
Hey.
My ex-husband, and he's already up the chimney.
Tip, up there.
Everyone points and stares overhead as Santa's sleigh lifts into the air and flies away. Several grinning children push their way to the front of the crowd. They have pointed elf ears. Scott flies the sleigh to the front of the house. The neighborhood children gape in disbelief. The elves grin knowingly to themselves. Scott lowers the sleigh until it hovers over Neil, Laura, and Charlie.
Goodbye, Charlie.
Goodbye, Dad.
Merry Christmas to all. And to all a good night.
The sleigh rises higher into the air. Neil crouches in front of Charlie.
I'm sorry, Charlie.
That's okay, Neil. You're just denying your inner child.
You're gonna make a great psychiatrist one day, kid.
No. I think I'm going to go into the family business.
Laura smiles tenderly. Neil rises to his feet and gazes overhead in wonder.
Look out below.
Scott drops presents from his sleigh attached to tiny red and green parachutes. Charlie catches a new soccer ball. Neil opens a golden ornament and finds a tiny whistle shaped like a hot dog.
My weenie whistle.
Crying with happiness, Laura runs her hands over a game box entitled Mystery Date. As Neil blows his whistle, the elf children exchange satisfied grins and push their way out of the crowd. They skip down the snowy street, leaving the neighbors gazing up at the sleigh. Led by his team of reindeer, Scott circles the house once more. Everyone smiles giddily and waves goodbye. Later, standing alone in front of his house, Charlie vigorously shakes his magic snow globe, then gazes forlornly into the empty night sky. Laura emerges from the house.
Charlie, time to come inside.
Mom's stupid ball's not working.
Charlie shakes the ball again. Laura watches him with a sympathetic frown.
Shoot.
Charlie bows his head and trudges toward the house. Behind him, Scott floats down onto the lawn.
Hey, sport.
Dad!
You missed me already? I've been gone, 10 minutes? Give me a break. I was on my way to Cleveland. Come here and give me a hug.
Charlie sprints into his father's arms. Scott scoops him up.
Oh. Do you want to go for a quick ride?
Yeah.
Of course, it's up to your mom.
Please, Mom?
Go on, get out of here.
Scott grins at her.
All right. Hold on.
His gift sack fills up like a balloon and carries them into the air.
On our way.
Bye, Mom!
Laura smiles and waves. Scott and Charlie rise up toward the waiting sleigh.
Just a quick one. And not over any oceans, Scott.
Bye, Mom!
Scott!
Bye!
Scott! Santa!
The reindeer pull the sleigh higher and higher until it soars above the city, twinkling far below. With Charlie grinning beside him, Santa waves goodbye. The sleigh races into the distance until it is a tiny silhouette against the glowing white moon. The scene fades to black. This film has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, a service of WGBH Boston. Described by Lisa Benjamin and Leslie Wu Foley. Descriptions read by Wendy Sacchichini. Funding provided by the United States Department of Education.
Lies around the Christmas tree while mothers shake their heads and pack the decorations carefully. The little children know that Monday's just another day. They feel a little sad to think that Santa's gone away. But Christmas will return, and joyful hearts like candles burn with love for all the little ones in countries far and near. And if we still alive. Christmas will return, and joy.
Apple High.